Saturday, the 31st of December 2011. Tonight we're doing what every other media outlet does, a look back at the year, from earthquakes and cyclones to royal weddings and the madness of TV stars, all through the eyes of the media, and since it's 2011, through the eyes of fucking Twitter. This is the 9pm Edict. Jesus, Charlie Brooker is a cunt. Or Mr. Charlton Brooker, to give him his formal name and to label him how he's known on Twitter. See, I always thought that he was some, you know, just some shabby, loudmouthed asshole that sat on his couch in the dark loneliness of his cluttered little flat and, as he got increasingly drunk, shouted at all the shit on TV. Ever louder, ever more filled with foul language. And he got to do that. And he got to do TV programs. See, I said this was going to be one take. And he got to do TV programs that were, in essence, just that. Charlie Brooker shouting at the television. There was Screen Wipe, which was about television. Then News Wipe, which was specifically about television news. And that included that fantastic deconstruction of the standard news story. And I've linked that on the website like I always do. You should watch that and fucking learn, especially if you think of yourself as some sort of media-savvy hipster fucking waste of space. And then each year since then, Brooker's been doing a program called N-Wipe, where N is the number of the year. So this year, he made 2011 Wipe. Now, I know it's a subtle concept to get across, this review of the year, what with you either being pissed as a newt right now, reveling in some coloured gunpowder exploding in sync, with some music so cliched through the necessity of having it recognised by everyone from Jaden, who's just started at Miranda High School this year, and whose class behaviour seems to be improving compared with last year, to senile Uncle Tony, that you wheelchaired down to the harbourside at Balmain to enjoy the one last colourful moment of his long life before he's into the crematory, and you're squabbling over the fine details of the will, that it takes all the real drama out of what you're seeing and turns it into something more akin to an advert for instant coffee. Or not pissed, right, which I grant you is more than likely because of the sort of loser that I am, producing a podcast while everyone else is in, you know, a party. The entire godforsaken fucking planet is having a party. But you're listening to this the next day, on New Year's Day, with a fearful hangover and a slowly smouldering determination deep within your limbic system that says you will never, ever drink that many tequila slammers ever, ever again. But you know what? You're sadly mistaken. The peer group pressure, the chanting of skull, 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 it's just irresistible, isn't it? And down go those shots, and down go those chases, and down goes 38% of your remaining brain cells with every single one of those fucking things that you drink. That's why you're feeling the way you do right now, isn't it? Look, all is not lost. Brain damage is nothing to be ashamed of. It's just a condition that has to be worked around, like diabetes or herpes. So that's why, to help you understand what Charlie Brooker's 2011 Wipe is about, I'll play you the trailer.
Hello, I'm Charlie Brooker. Join me for 2011 Wipe, my review of a year in which nothing happened, really, apart from Andy Coulson resigning, Andy Gray getting sacked, the Arab Spring, the Japan disaster, Charlie Sheen, the Black Bloc, Made in Chelsea, the Royal Wedding, my Big Fat Gypsy Wedding, Super Injunctions, the death of Bin Laden, phone hacking, the August riots, the death of Gaddafi, the complete and utter meltdown of the European economy, and Rasta Mouse. Don't know how we're going to pad it out, to be honest. So join me, Charlie Brooker, for 2011 Wipe, 30th of December, 10:30, BBC Four.
Like, what the fuck? Brooker gets to make programs that are really just him sitting at home, shouting obscenities at all the things in the world that piss him off. I mean, what sort of cunt can get away with making programs that are about nothing more than that sort of bullshit? Oh, wait. Look, anyway, if that cunt Brooker can do it for a year in review, so can I. The fact that he's got the support of the BB fucking C behind him, and I've got, well, I've got this table at a pub and a couple of schooners of beer and no fucking kitchen, because this pub, the C Bar, the Chamberlain Hotel in Haymarket, closed the fucking kitchen at 7:30 p.m. on a Saturday night. Oh, well, it's a bit quiet. Sorry, we decided to sort of close up. I mean, what sort of assholes are these people? Anyway, you know, that's what I've got to deal with. And that's what we're going to do. I'm going to essentially present a program. And because I don't have the kind of resources that Mr. Charlton Brooker has, I'm going to have to be, well, I suppose a little more personal, a little more intimate, in fact. I intend to get very, very intimate with you a bit later. You might like to have one of these pills. They'll make you feel good. And all that's great, except that cunt Charlie Brooker has moved on from making angry, ranty TV and has just made some of the most brilliant drama that I've seen it... Well, that I've seen in goddamn fucking forever with Black Mirror, that's what. Three stories that he's executive producer of. He wrote one, he co-wrote the second one, and I don't know what he did with the third one. Probably sat around and masturbated over the script or something. And they are just fucking brilliant. They're on Channel 4 HD in the UK over the last couple of weeks, and I've watched them because the internet. And they're very good. You should watch them. You can find them if you look for them. Black Mirror by Charlie Brooker. Ah, well, what are you going to do? He's a bastard. I'm stuck here at the pub. So here we are with the year 2011 in review. Well, it just gets fucking better and better and better. The pub said that it was going to be closing early tonight, 10 p.m, because it's New Year's Eve, and of course everyone is down by the harbour to watch the fireworks, and it gets empty in Haymarket, so they're going to close up early, 10 p.m. So the bouncers just come around and told everyone, oh, just to let you know, we're calling last drinks at 9:15. I mean, what the fuck? You advertise you're open at 10 p.m, and then you decide, oh, maybe we're not? Like, we will deal with that when we come to a working day. Chamberlain Hotel, Haymarket, not to be trusted at their word, the cunts. Well, lacking Mr. Brooker's legion of researchers, I must resort to summarising the year 2011 by leveraging the labours of others. Now, leveraging, I know, is one of those words, but at least I didn't fucking crowdsource it or gamify it. I just looked it up in the Sydney Morning Herald. And this is how the Herald, the grandest and oldest newspaper in the country, starts off its year in review story. I quote, "The year started off with one of the worst news stories Australians could imagine. The loss of the Ashes. Not just a loss, a pasting. The first time in history Australia lost three matches in a series by more than an innings. I mean, seriously, for fuck's sake, this is not fucking news at all, let alone the worst we can imagine. Jesus, who wrote this thing?" Ah, Liam Phillips is the name. Right, Liam Phillips. "You can't imagine something worse than losing a game, an amusement, can't you? Oh, I think you can. Maybe, I don't know, look at something from your own story. How about the 15,844 deaths from the earthquake on the 11th of March and subsequent tsunami in Japan? That sounds a little bit worse to me, and I don't even have to imagine it. It actually fucking well happened. Or is that your arithmetic a tragedy? The loss of nearly 16,000 nips equates to the loss of a one little handful of wood ash in a ceramic urn full of..." Where was I going with that? Yeah, arithmetic a tragedy. "The loss of nearly 16,000 nips equates to the loss of one little handful of wood ash in a ceramic urn about half the size of any reasonably satisfying butt plug. The war ended more than 65 years ago, mate. And if you need something closer to home, how about local disasters like the Queensland floods or Cyclone Yasi or Julia Gillard's time as Prime Minister? Christ, that woman has turned out to be the most uninspiring of the little political figures, hasn't she? Just wait until you hear her New Year's message later tonight. It's fucking dull as fucking dishwater." Well, here's what else Liam Phillips and the Sydney Morning Herald reckons are the big stories of 2011. "Queensland floods, sure, major natural disaster, as Australian as they come. That should be top of the list. Qantas grounds all aircraft." Well, I mean, yeah, significant in the history of industrial relations, but we've moved on, haven't we? Do we remember that? Death of Osama bin Laden. Yes, the man who was the reason for launching a whole war in Afghanistan and Iraq. It was never, ever, ever about oil, right? We're agreed on that. Even if the entire history of the 20th century and the early 21st century can be explained, just like you can explain most politics by following the money, you can explain that war, in fact, international politics, by follow the oil. Well, you can't explain that war, you know, because it wasn't about oil. I know 75% of the world's shipping tonnage is devoted to moving oil. But remember, the war in Iraq was the breakthrough. It was the first war ever that couldn't possibly be explained by looking at a map of oil reserves. Can't possibly be explained by that. We got that clear? Wasn't about oil. Wasn't about oil. Japan earthquake, tsunami, nuclear meltdown. Yes, well, we've covered that. Good luck. Steve Jobs dies. Yeah, well, I suppose that was a big story because the Wall Street Journal reported that of the most trafficked stories to its website during 2011, of the top 10, 8 of them were stories about Steve Jobs or Apple. Fucking losers. The royal wedding of William and Catherine. Yeah, bread and fucking circuses there. And add to that the list of, you know, stuff that... Oh, what do I want to say here? Add that to the list of stuff the Romans did for us. Ever. Not... Oh, God, this was much better before I started getting cranky with the pub, let me tell you. Cyclone Yasi, yeah, that's a news story. Muammar Gaddafi overthrown, yeah, for a big story for those of us who'd ever heard of him before he started to get blanket news coverage. But, like, really? Anyone? Christchurch earthquake, yes, news until it got upstaged by Japan. Matty Pulver collar bomb hoax. That was kind of news for a couple of days in Sydney newspapers. That's your grand thing. Phone hacking and the closure of the News of the World. Well, yes, but the real story was about the demise of Rupert Murdoch as the Lizard King. Cadel Evans wins the Tour de France. Oh, you fucking loser Muppets. Why did you even watch that? Sam Stosur wins the US Open. Never heard of him. Norway shooting massacre. Yes, significant. What have we heard since? Nothing. Barack Obama's Australian visit. Like, that is obviously Barack Obama's career highlight, that. Egyptians overthrow Hosni Mubarak. Yeah, maybe, you know, Twitter revolution. Oh, people in the street. Yeah, right. And Charlie Sheen's descent into madness. Look, I'll fucking well show you descent into madness. And there you have it. That's how 2011 is going to be recorded in history. A little list of factoids and media images, just like every other year. If you want a more detailed analysis, I mean, if you really want to understand this stuff, if you really want to understand this stuff, obviously the Sydney Morning Herald is not the place to go. What did the Romans ever do for us? See, now I can do the line. Bloody live to tape, or live to thing, live to SD card. Look, if you want a more detailed analysis, go to someone who gives a toss. You know, I'm rapidly running out of enthusiasm for this podcast. I actually came into the Sydney CBD to do a bit of research for you. That's the kind of person I am. I thought I would do personal research so that you are aware of what actually happens in Sydney on New Year's Eve when something like 1.5 million of the unwashed masses wash up to the shores of Sydney Harbour to gawk at the fireworks. And I can see them going past now. They're still the stragglers. I don't know how they expect to be able to see anything. But it's, you know, pretty fucking low-rent humanity, let me tell you. One of the most interesting groups of people I've found is the groups of usually about, like, 7 to 12 young men from, you know, the Shire, the sort of Sutherland Shire of Sydney, the outer suburbs. You know, they don't exactly come into the centre of Sydney much. And they're all wearing a uniform. They're all kind of wearing grey singlets with a deep blue edging on the upper parts, denim shorts and thongs on the lower part, you know, a tan, a suntan, and that's about it. And they surge around in these groups in this uniform, filled equally with testosterone, racism and ignorance. A bunch of them washed up here at the pub earlier. And I kind of sat down, and like, this is in Haymarket, which if you're not familiar with it, is, you know, that's Chinatown, or this bit on Campbell Street's really, really Thai town. It's the centre of the Thai community. But of course, they've got their whole kind of no one but Anglos exist down in the Shire attitude. And they're banging on the window whenever a young woman of Asian extraction walks past and saying things like, "Oh, I love you, dropped your passport." And it's like, they're so fucking stupid, because if they had a passport, that means they're already citizens. Stupid bastards. And that reminds me, why do so many of these straight men have tattoos on their lower back, which are clearly only going to be appreciated by someone who's currently fucking them up the arse? These are important questions in the world. But I'm afraid that I can't really explore the wonders that are 2011 any further, because I'm going to have to, like, finish my beer, order another drink, mix this, get it up on the internet, and the pub's fucking shut. I'm not even going to have time for an edict. So there we are. The year ends with an edict without an edict. Thank you, everyone. That sums up 2011, and ain't 2012 just going to be more of the fucking same, only we're all a year older. Thanks very fucking much, universe. Well, that's all the edict for now. I'd hope to bring you a lot more, but the entire fucking production schedule was screwed up, let me say this again, by the Chamberlain Hotel, the C-Bar in Haymarket in Sydney. We'll be following that up in the next episode of the edict. I'll have a chat to them and see why they do this. Meanwhile, if you'd like to leave a comment on this episode, you can go to the website, type in some words. If you want to leave an audio comment to include on the next episode, not that anyone's ever fucking done that in the last 6 months. I mean, what's wrong with you? It's easy. You just Skype to Stillgerry and I'll pick up the phone and phone Sydney. Sydney, +612 8011 3733. Phone in a comment. Just do it. It'll be included in the next program. You won't lose your firstborn or anything. Christ, why are you so lazy, you assholes? The next edict will be whenever I bloody will feel like it, sometime next year, because this is the 9 p.m. edict. Merry fucking Christmas and Happy New Year.